verse 1. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? We'd like to say hello to Phil this morning, who's listening by telephone. Mike, if you've ever noticed, Mike always comes down to start a service and lays that phone down there. That's because Phil hasn't found a good church in the whole time he's been away from us out in Arizona. And that touches my heart to know that he's that hungry for the message of the cross and the Word of God, that he comes and lays the phone down and listens to our service from out in, it's not in Arizona, it's New Mexico, isn't it? Albuquerque, yes. Hello, Phil. We love you wherever you are. 1 Samuel chapter 30, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Now go on to verse 17 of the same chapter. And David smote them from the twilight even into the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds, which they drave before those other cattle, and said, This is David's spoil. And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of David recovered all. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, how I thank you for the rich, abiding presence of the Holy Spirit that's been in this service. And Lord, now I ask you to help me to preach your word in a way that it will bring strength to your people. That, Lord, it would build them up in their most holy faith. That, Lord, it would prepare them for maybe a battle that they're going to be in. Or, Lord, perhaps give them the assurance of victory for a battle they're presently involved in. And, Lord, that you will ultimately do glorious things for your children. That, Lord, whatever you take away or whatever you allow to be taken, you'll always give it back if we remain faithful to you. Lord, do mighty things today in our hearts and lives, for we need it done. And, Lord, help me to preach your word. Help me. Anoint me with your Holy Spirit. I know my inadequacies. I know my inability to do it in a way, Lord, in and of myself. But I know what great things can be accomplished through the power of the Spirit. And we need his anointing. We need his operation today. We give you the praise and glory and faith, believing that you've already answered that prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. During the early part of the 1800s, a young man just outside of Springfield, Illinois, was poor, and he got a job working on the barges that went up and down the Mississippi River, carrying cargo from parts of Illinois and the northern portion of the United States, down the Mississippi River to New Orleans. And upon several trips to New Orleans, this young man was arrested by the vulgarity that he saw in the slave trade that was so prominent in that day. He watched as mothers and babies were literally separated on the auction block, where humans were treated as nothing more than cattle, and families torn apart as different slave traders would buy them, and there was no regard for keeping families together. This touched his heart. And this young man for a long time had read the Bible by candlelight, and he saw the debauchery in it. He saw the vulgarity of it. And he purposed in his heart and asked God. He said, "Lord, I'm nobody. But if you'll help me, and if you'll give me the mind and the wisdom and the position, I'll smite this whore and I'll drive it from the United States of America." The young man was Abraham Lincoln. And as he, of course, ultimately signed the great Emancipation Proclamation that stopped the ugliness of the slave trade in the United States of America, even though he had requested as a young man, "God, use me in this capacity," and he kept his promise to the Lord, for when God gave him the position and the authority, he did what he said he would do. First point I want to make this morning is each and every one of us have a destiny in God. We were not put here haphazardly or by accident. Your life was placed on this planet to do something in the kingdom of God and to bring God's name glory and honor. Abraham Lincoln's mission on this earth was to forever change the United States of America by stopping this horrible slave trade. And he didn't do it single-handedly, but God put him in the position to be able to ultimately sign it into law and make it illegal. But I wish I could tell you that his life had been a simple life. But as he grew up and became a lawyer in Illinois, life was pretty cruel to Abraham Lincoln. Three times as a lawyer, he failed the bar exam when he tried to gain his certificate to practice law. Three times he failed it. Two law firms he established forced him into personal bankruptcy two different times. But he never quit. He kept on because he had a sense of destiny, that God had called him to do something and he would not quit. There's a great lesson in that for you and I. And somebody I know in my heart, as the Lord was having me prepare this, needs to hear it today. With God, you can fail. Just don't quit. You can fail. Just don't quit. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I'm telling you that God can very easily handle our human failures. That's one of the easiest things for God to deal with, really. If we're repentive and we'll come His way, human failure is one of the easiest things for the Lord to deal with. But it's when we quit. That's what stops His mighty power from aiding us and assisting us. It's been said that those whom God is going to use greatly, their faith is going to be tested greatly. And if God has a destiny for each and every one born, which He does, something that He put you on this planet that only you can do, it may not be grandiose in the eyes of man, but there is a mission, something God has placed you on this earth to do. And God is going to take you down a path to complete that mission. I can assure you that's going to be difficult and rough. Your faith is going to be tested. As we look at the life of King David, just preceding the text that we read this morning, He's had to flee his homeland, Israel, because of Saul, King Saul's jealousy. He's been living on the run, living in caves, experiencing a very difficult life. But bear in mind, this is the man who God sent this prophet Samuel to years earlier and poured the oil over his head and said, "This man will be my king. This is the one that I've chosen to be king." There's great significance in that, for when Israel as a nation began to cry out for a king, it wasn't that God was opposed to Israel having a king. God became angry because of the reason Israel was crying out for a king. They cried out for a king because they said, "We want to be like the other nations who had earthly kings." Israel in that insulted God because they already had a king. They had a heavenly king, Jehovah Jireh. But they kept crying out, "We want a king so we can be like other nations." I dare stop and preach there just a moment this morning. That's one of the greatest problems in the church today, that the church wants to be like the world. We want to be like the world. We're not called to be like the world. We're called to be a peculiar people. We're called to be the people of God. There's supposed to be a difference between us and the world. But as Israel continued to cry out, "Give us a king so we can be like other nations," God said, "I'm going to give you what you asked for." And he gave them King Saul. And he didn't give Saul for Saul to fail. But Saul did, as all men will. And Saul now turns against God's chosen king, David. He's already been anointed by Samuel and said, "You're going to be king one day." But even though David had this destiny, this promise, this mission from God, that he was going to be king, as we preceding the text we read this morning, he's had to run for his life from Saul. He's been living in the desert. He's been living in caves. And I can just hear Satan on his back, as he does all children of God when God's taken them through the time of testing. "Yeah, right. You're going to be king of Israel. The nation is divided right now. You're running from your life. Saul could kill you at any moment. And you've even had to flee to the enemies of Israel, the Philistines, to help them and to aid them in their army. Yeah, right. You're going to be king of Israel one day. Look at you, David. You're a mess." David's work for the Philistines as he was fleeing Israel was renowned. And the Philistines appreciated his work so much that they gave David this town called Ziklag. It was the only thing he possessed in the world that was his, Ziklag. And while he was out assisting the Philistines in one of their battles, we read in chapter 30 how that the Amalekites came in and burnt the entire city to the ground. Took all of the precious commodities out of the city and took all of the women and children for slaves. And David, who is anointed, has been promised, "One day you're going to be king of Israel," now returns to Ziklag, the only thing in this world that he has left, and finds out that it's all gone. That it's all gone. Even his wives have been taken. Ahinoam, and all of a sudden the other lady's name escaped my mind, Abigail. Ahinoam and Abigail. Those two names mean pleasant and joy. Not only has all of David's physical wealth been taken, the two great things in his life, pleasantness and joy, have now been taken. If anybody had a right to quit, it would have been David. Because David, at this point in his life, is in failure. He's in rebellion against God. But if a person has any, a shred, a mustard seed, Jesus said, of faith, God's still going to work with that individual. David had a destiny to fulfill. And the Lord, even in David's rebellion and even in his failures, was propelling him toward exactly what he'd called him to do. Because David had that shred of faith left. Somebody needs to hear this morning. I don't know where you are with God. And I don't know how bad things may have gotten in your life. And you felt like, I've got every reason in the world to quit. And you may have every reason in the world to quit. You may have failed God. But God can deal with your failure. Your failure will never daunt Almighty God. Hallelujah. He always stands ready to pick anybody up and to set their feet back on a solid rock and to set their feet back on the straight and narrow. That's the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. I don't care if everybody else in this world has quit on you and said you're no good and you're a failure. The Holy Ghost of God wants you to know this morning, He has not quit on you. If you have a mustard seed of faith in Jesus Christ, He won't quit. Neither would He quit in the life of David, who He had anointed king over Israel. Even though David was in rebellion, even though David was sinning by turning to the Philistines to provide him with what he thought he needed. It's a type of the believer when a difficult situation comes and that believer turns to a worldly source to get what he needs rather than keeping on and trusting in Christ. David was failing God. But when David, at the lowest point of his life, and if you study your Bible history, you'll see that Ziklag, this event at Ziklag, was the lowest point in King David's life. From this point on, everything began to turn for King David. But why? Because even though he failed, he did not quit. That's the message the Holy Ghost wants put across this morning. You can fail, don't quit. You can fail 1,000 times a day, and if you go running back to God, He'll pick you up 1,000 times a day. Man won't treat you that way. Man would want to throw you on the heap and throw you on the junk pile. God won't do you that way because God's not a man. Hallelujah. He's not a man. He's full of grace and mercy. His grace and mercy toward anybody will never be exhausted. Hallelujah to the Lamb forever. And when King David returns to find everything in life he holds near and dear gone, everything he values, and even the people, the men that have fought with David side by side, now want to stone him and blame him for what's going on. But the Bible says that shred of faith deep in David's soul came to life. And the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. How does one do that when you've lost everything? It's knowing the nature and the character of God. David had walked with God long enough to know this, that whatever he takes away, he's either going to hand it back better than it was before, or he's going to replace it with something greater if you keep faithful to him. David knew that. That's how he could be encouraged. That's how you can be encouraged this morning. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. You can lose everything you got. You can fail God, but if you won't quit, if you'll just go back to Him and say, Lord, help me. I failed You. I know that. And I'm asking You for grace and mercy. I'm asking You to give me back what I've lost. He may not give you back what you lost. He'll give you something better for it. I don't feel I'm preaching this very well today. If I was, I believe you'd be shouting right now. I said, whatever He takes away, if He gives it back, it's going to be better than it was before He allowed it to be taken. If He doesn't give it back, He's going to replace it with something that was so much greater and better than what you had before, it'll cause you to forget all about what you lost. Hallelujah! That's how David encouraged himself in the Lord. He knew God was a God of grace. He knew Jehovah Jireh was a God of mercy. And even though he had failed, even though he had sinned, even though he was in rebellion, he came back to God. And the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. That's encouragement to anybody. Is it God and what he's allowed to be taken from your life? He'll either hand it back greater than it ever was before, and Bible history is replete with examples of this. I don't have time to give them all, but I have the authority of God's word to back me up on this. Anything he allows to be taken, he'll give it back in far better condition, or he'll replace it with something that's so much greater that it'll make you forget the glory of what you thought you had in the first place. That's God. That's his grace and mercy. That's how David encouraged himself. And after David, really, the text, I'm not going to go into it for time's sake. It literally means David fell on his face before the Lord and said, Lord, I've sinned before you. I've been in rebellion. I know you've called me to be king. And I've turned my back on it. I've looked to these Philistines. I've done it all wrong, Lord. That's why I say God can deal with failure. God can't deal with you if you quit. God can deal with human failure. He can't deal with us if we quit. And don't quit this morning. That's the message the Holy Ghost wants put across. Don't quit. I don't care how badly you failed. God can fix that. Hallelujah. He can take that failure and put it in his right and make everything right. That's God. That's his grace and mercy. And after David fell on his face this way, he calls for the priest, Abiathar. He called, in essence, for the Urim and the Thummim, the two rocks that hung behind the pouch of the high priest. Nobody's really sure what they are. Every Bible scholar I've read after, there's some conjecture on it. Nobody's really sure what these two stones were, but we know this. On the Urim and the Thummim, there was a positive answer and there was a negative answer. To put it in the modern vernacular, it was a yes or a no. And King David called for Abiathar the priest, and he inquired of the Lord. That's what intimates his repentance was strong when it says he encouraged himself in the Lord. He now calls for the priest. He now saying, I'm not going my own direction. I'm not looking to the Philistines for help. I'm not looking to the world for help. I'm going to God. God will help me. God's a God of grace and mercy. Even though I've lost everything I have and everything I hold dear, I know God's a God of grace and mercy. I'm going to him. He'll help me out. And Abiathar comes, and David asks, Lord, what do you want me to do? Should I chase these Amalekites down? Should I pursue after them? And Abiathar walked in before the Lord and asked the question, Lord, what do you want King David to do? And then Abiathar reached behind that ephod that was right in the little pouch that hung right over the heart. For it's in the heart of man is where decisions are made. And he puts his hand on one of the stones and he keeps it clasped. And he walks out back before King David and holds that hand under King David's face and opens the palm of his hand. And the answer is, go, David, you're going to recover all. You go after what's been stolen from you because you're going to recover all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what I'm saying. If you failed, God, just don't quit. Get back to him. Get back to him. I don't care what anybody tells you. I don't care how great your failure is. I don't care if mommy, daddy's friends, everybody in this world turns on you. You get back to God. He'll help you out. Hallelujah. He won't turn his back on you. He's the one constant and surety that we all have, that Jesus Christ is merciful. Jesus Christ is glorious. He is a friend that's this closer than a brother. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Hallelujah. And David could have sat there in sorrow and self-pity, said, I've lost everything. I've been there before. I've done that. Maybe you have. Maybe this morning you feel like quitting. Don't quit. Don't quit. It ain't over. God's saying to you, get back up one more time. Get back up one more time. This was the key turning point of King David's life. Ziklag was. He had lost everything now, and now God had David's full attention. And he's turning to his God, and he says, you go get it. I'm going to give it all back to you. And you read the verses, 17 through 20. David pursued and smote the Amalekites, And he got every single thing back, plus more. Plus more. The Bible says David got spoils. That means not only did he recover his wives, not only did all the men with him recover everything that had been lost, they got back infinitely a greater amount than what they had before the whole thing started. I'm telling you this morning, the Holy Ghost wants you to know, you hold on to God. You hold on to God. Whatever he's taken, he'll give it back, hallelujah. And when he gives it back, it's going to be greater. And if he don't give it back exactly what you lost, what he replaces it with is going to be so absolutely glorious, it'll make you forget about the thing you thought you needed. That's God. That's God. That's his promise. You've got a destiny in him to fulfill. And from Ziklag on, as you study the life of King David, God took King David to where God wanted him to be. There came that day where he was coronated king over united Israel. When the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah that had been divided for some 900 years came back together as one nation under God's king, King David. Let me draw some correlations here. You and I, we have a heavenly David. He went and fought a battle for us that we could have never have won. Our heavenly David is Jesus Christ. He went and gave his life on the cross. And he purchased for us everything that the Father has to give. When King David returned from this battle with all the spoils, there was about 200 people. The Bible says, as you read on after chapter 20, by the brook Besor. Besor means cheerful. As they sat by Besor, because they were too weary to go on with David and his men. In other words, they couldn't accomplish the mission. When King David came back victorious with all his spoils, some of the ones that went to fight with David and slay the Amalekites, they said, don't give these people anything. This is a perfect picture of the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. King David said, they'll get the same amount as everybody who went and fought. Glory to God. I don't know what that does to you, but we couldn't have went to the cross. We were all imperfect. We were all failures. Jesus went for us, and he purchased for us with his shed blood the spoils. And he comes back, and even though we didn't go fight with him, even though we were alienated from him, he comes back to us by the brook Besor, meaning cheerful, and says, I've got good news for you. I'm going to give you the same amount of share in the spoils of the battle, just as if you went and fought it yourself. Glory to God. Somebody shout with me, would you? Somebody shout with me over that. Hallelujah. 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 Even though we've all failed, even though we've all been in rebellion at one time or another, God can deal with our failure. Just don't quit. This was the turning point of David's life. Everything got blessed from David from here on out. But outside of the episode with Bathsheba, after David became king, as David ascended to the kingship of Israel, you see nothing but blessing after blessing after blessing upon his life. You can fail, God. Just don't quit. Just don't quit. Keep walking with him. Encourage yourself in him. Know that he's a God of grace and mercy. And if you've strayed from him, turn back to him. He won't turn you away. He will not turn you away. He'll take you back. Like the old song says, with arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. Hallelujah. And the Bible says David recovered all. He recovered all and so much more. I don't know what you may have lost this morning, but you've got a destiny in God. Something on this planet that only you can do. And you may feel this morning like, I'm never going to get there. I'm never going to achieve it. It's been too hard. It's been too much failure. I've made too big a mess of it. God can unscramble scrambled eggs. He can do anything. Man can't do these kind of things. God can. Encourage yourself in the Lord this morning. Get back to Him. And know that as long as you haven't quit, He's not going to quit. You can fail. Just don't quit. As I begin to close, during World War II, I love to read about the oratory of Winston Churchill, who was the Prime Minister of Great Britain. Probably in modern times, Winston Churchill's the greatest orator to ever walk the planet outside of Jesus Christ. His oratory skills were of that magnitude, to where he could encapsulize in a few words a great idea and communicate it to the people in a simple way that would cause them to catch the vision and the big picture. It was through his brilliant oratory that he inspired the Army and the Navy of Great Britain during World War II to keep fighting in the face of insurmountable odds. I remember in one of his great speeches, when it looked like the German Luftwaffe was going to destroy Great Britain, and Great Britain was reduced to just a small number of airplanes, the Royal Air Force flew around the clock and took out the vaunted German Luftwaffe. But in a speech to the Royal Air Force before the Battle of Britain began, Winston Churchill addressed them and the nation of Great Britain over the radio. And he said, "Let us fight them on the land. Let us fight them in the air. Let us fight them on the sea. And should we fail, let men say for 1,000 years, this was their finest hour." And he inspired them to fight with that thinking. And they did. And they turned back the vaunted German advance and saved Great Britain. Years later, after the war, he was asked to give a speech at a commencement service at West Point, the renowned military academy of the United States Army. He accepted. And they had granted him a block of time of 1 hour because they wanted to ensure that he had ample time to address the graduating members and inspire them with his brilliant oratory. And the lecture hall was packed to capacity, not only with the graduating cadets of West Point, but as many civilian people that could get in to hear this man speak, whose force of speech had maintained an entire nation during its darkest days when it looked like it would surely go down to defeat and ultimately won victory. And people couldn't wait to hear what he would say, and as they had given an hour's time for him to speak, he was introduced and stepped to the podium and began to just stare out over the crowd, and the crowd fell silent in anticipation of what this great man would have to tell them. And he started slowly, and he gave a 12-word speech that inspired the entire assembly. He spoke first, "Never give up," in a low tone. His second words, "Never, never give up." His third line, "Never," with his voice rising, "Never, never, never give up." And he turned and sat down, and the house exploded into praise and applause, because he was telling them, this man who had nearly seen the extinction of his nation, stood firm and did not quit. As we close and go to the altar's call this morning, that came from a man. That came from a man who was flawed, who was futile, but we have greater words from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, this morning. And the Holy Spirit is saying to each and every one, never, never give up. Never, never, never give up. Hold on to God. Hold on to God. Don't look unto a man. Don't look unto a church. Don't look unto anything but Jesus Christ. And whatever you've lost, And I'm not no prosperity preacher. You guys know that. But I've got Bible to back me up on this. Whatever God has allowed to be taken from your life that may have destroyed your world, if you'll encourage yourself in Him and you'll keep walking faithfully with God on the authority of God's Word, I can promise you this. He's either going to give it back and more with it, or He's going to replace it with something that's far, far greater. And nothing will stop you from getting to where God wants you to be. Nothing would stop King David, because it was God's destiny for him to be king of Israel. And you've got a destiny this morning, and I don't care what life's thrown at you. You know it. God's perfectly able of speaking to His children. You know what God wants you to do. If you've walked with Him any amount of time. Now, granted, not everybody's going to be called to be a brilliant orator on the international level of somebody like Winston Churchill. But God's got a destiny for you in Him. Something He put you on this planet to do in the dateless past of eternity when He formed your soul and your spirit. You're not here by accident. And you may think my failure will prevent me from doing what He's called me to do. He can deal with your failure. Just don't quit on what He's called you to do. Just don't quit. Just don't quit. Just don't quit. Never, never give up. He'll give it all back. He'll give it all back. And He'll replace it. If He doesn't give it back in a greater condition, He'll replace it with something that'll be far, far better. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, we come to You today in the name of Jesus. I'm going to ask everyone to please stand. Lord, we've heard Your word today. And Father, I know that it's the delivery of it was woefully inadequate, but it was Your truth, Lord, from Your word. And I know the Holy Spirit, that's who I trust in, will take the truth of Your word, no matter how unskillfully it may have been delivered. If it's Your truth, it'll have great impact upon Your people. And Lord, I'm praying today for everyone who feels like they failed in their destiny, or they feel like it's never going to be what it should have been. I pray today You'll arrest them from that thinking, and that You'll show them that if we'll merely trust You, as was exemplified in the life of King David, two wonderful things are going to happen. Number one, You'll restore or replace in a far greater fashion whatever's been taken away. And number two, as we keep faithfully walking with You, even though we'll make mistakes along the way, if we won't quit, You'll take us into the destiny that You have predispositioned us to be in before the foundation of the world. It's never too late. It's never too late if we'll just won't quit. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Lord, impart this simple truth to us today. Let it go deep in our hearts, Lord. Let us see that You have infinite grace and mercy toward our failures and our shortcomings. And You'll always be there to pick us back up. If we'll repent like David did and go to You, You'll always set us on the right path. And Lord, Your message this morning, I believe, to each and every soul who feels like maybe their failure's been so great they can never do what You called them to do. Or Lord, maybe they'll never achieve what You put them on earth to achieve. The nail-scarred hand of the high priest is out this morning. Hallelujah. And that high priest is not Abiathar. His name is Jesus Christ. And He's saying, go after it. Go after it. I have not given up on you. I have not cast you away. Go after it. I'll see to it that you recover all and achieve what I want you to achieve. Thank You, Lord, for Your great truth today. I'm going to ask everyone who will now, would you come and present yourselves at the altar of the Lord? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As we stand here at the altar of the Lord this morning with our heads bowed and eyes closed in reverence to Him, I have so felt the unction of the Holy Spirit as I've attempted to preach this message to reiterate this one thought. You can fail, and He'll pick you back up. Just don't quit. When you get knocked down, spiritually speaking, the only way that God cannot help you, and I dare say it that way, the only way God cannot help you is if you choose to stay down. If you'll keep getting up one more time, God won't quit on you. God won't quit on you. Everybody else may. You may feel alone today, but if you're with God, you're not alone. You'll never walk alone. And right where you stand this morning, if you're in that situation, and I don't know. I know some of you have been through some very difficult times, but others, I may not even know what you faced. You may have been going through a literal hell on earth. I really don't need to know. It doesn't matter. I'm asking at this altar call, and I believe the Holy Spirit is asking you to apply God's Word to your situation. And His Word is saying, I can deal with your failure. Just don't quit on me. If you'll stand up, I'll grab you by the hand and pull you to your feet if you'll just reach out to me. I'll pull you back to your feet, and I'll see you get to where I have destined you to be. Just don't quit. You can fail. Just don't quit. Father, in the name of Jesus today, the Bible tells us all have sinned and fallen short of your glory. Were it not for your grace and mercy, Lord Jesus Christ, we would never find our way at anything. We would never even begin to fulfill what you put us on this earth to do. But Lord, let no one feel around this altar today like it's over for them. Because it's not. And Father, whatever you've taken away in the process, whatever you have taken away, whatever you have allowed to be removed, if we'll just keep walking faithfully with you, you're going to restore it, or else you're going to replace it with something that's far greater than what we could have ever hoped for. I'm asking for faith right now to rise up in your people. Give them faith to believe you. Give us all faith to believe you in this last day. Go deep in us right now, Holy Spirit of God. I ask in Jesus' name. And let no one feel like they've permanently failed. Let no one quit. But let us rise up in Jesus Christ today, saying in Him, I'm more than a conqueror. And He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I could ask or think. And He will do it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy today. Thank you for the cross that affords us all of the privileges, all of the power, and all of the blessing that the Father has. Thank you, Jesus, for not giving up on us. Thank you, Lord, that your grace is greater than human failure. We praise your holy name. Now would you lift your hands and just thank Him for His grace and mercy today, Father. We are so undeserving of the way that you gloriously and graciously treat us. But Lord, we know it's all because of Jesus, and we praise you for that. Lord, and as we dismiss this morning, I'm asking one more time to that one who may be ashamed of their failure. There's no shame in Jesus Christ. Lord, that sin is wiped out as if it never happened. Let them not be ashamed. And let them get back up as David did and pursue after again that which you've called them to be and do. Knowing that as they faithfully walk with you, You'll take them where you want them to be. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Would you give the Lord a hand of praise this morning? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, it's been a joy to be with you in God's house this morning. I pray in some way you've been uplifted and strengthened by God's word today. And you go and have a safe day out there. It's a beautiful day. And enjoy it. And we'll see you back on Wednesday night. God bless you so very, very much. Paul, would you dismiss us in prayer today?